funny.
Don't you just hate it when you're late for work? When you're late for something? When you're late for something? Don't you just hate when you're late for work and you're late for something and you just can't find your keys? Don't you hate when that happens? Like you just start searching frantically all over the house, right? You're looking in places you never thought that you would put your keys. You're looking next to the bed in obvious places. You're looking on the kitchen table. You're looking in the nightstands. You start pulling off the sheets off the bed. You're looking for your keys because you don't know where you put them. You're looking all over the place. And just about the time that you're about to pull your hair out, you realize that your keys have been in your hand the whole time. That ever happened to you? That's happened to me more than once, I'm sure. Well, imagine that you've misplaced your keys and you were trying to find your keys in the dark and they weren't in your hand. And you know that they're not in your hand, but you're trying to find your keys and you don't have any lights. It'd be pretty hard to find your keys in the dark, wouldn't it? In fact, it'd be pretty hard to find anything in the dark, and therefore it's much easier to find what you're looking for in the light, right? But what if the thing that you're looking for is the light itself? It's pretty hard to find light when it's dark. I mean, if there's no light to be found, then it's impossible to find the light in the dark because it's all dark and there's no light. Because there doesn't appear to be any light. But when it's light, it's easy to find the light, isn't it? You just open your eyes and look around. If it's light and you want to find light and you're not distracted by looking for something else. Well, so much of our lives, we seem to be searching for something. We're searching for that elusive quality of life, that thing that you're looking for, and it just always seems that thing that you're looking for just seems right outside your grasp. Like you think you have it almost, and it just slips through your fingers. We're searching for things like happiness, purpose, success, or love. And sometimes we think that we find such things, right? We think that we have that thing that we've been looking for, but then we find oftentimes that that was very temporary. And we feel like we lose those things and we need to find them again. Well, maybe without even realizing it, by searching for any of these kinds of things, we're actually searching for Jesus. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us through Jesus. Help us to see you, your light, and live in your light, and reflect your light to others, that they too may give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Abby was in college, she worked as an applied behavioral analyst. And what she did was she helped children with autism learn how to function in a classroom setting. You see, it's often difficult with children who have autism to relate to other people and to express themselves appropriately. Depending on the type and severity of the autism, they often resort to things like mumbling quoting various things that they've heard in the past, whether things that they've seen on television or songs or various things. And that was the case for one little boy that Abby was working with. He loved to quote songs and TV shows, especially VeggieTales and songs that he had heard in church. In fact, he rarely, if ever, said anything that was not a quote from something that he had heard before. Well, one day, Abby was working with this little boy, and he had something in his hands. He was holding something in his hands. And Abby asked him, "Hey, what you got?" And he says, "You want to see?" And Abby's thinking, "This is awesome! He's asking an appropriate question. He's responding to something that I'm saying. And she's thinking, this is great. This is a major breakthrough. And he says it again. You want to see? You want to see Jesus lifted high? And obviously that was a quote from a song that he had heard in the past, but it was very appropriately used. You see, we should want to see Jesus lifted high. No matter what you're searching for in life, the thing that you should be most searching for is Jesus. To see Him high and lifted up. Because when we see Jesus this way, it helps us to see everything else more clearly. He's like a lamp that we put up on a stand. Verse 33, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Now, we don't use oil lamps all that much anymore, right? So let me put it like this. No one walks into a room and turns on the light, flicks on the switch, and then immediately tries to cover up the light. We don't do that. We don't walk into a room, turn on the switch, and then grab a can of spray paint and spray all the light bulbs. That would conceal the light. We don't do that. I mean, that would be silly. Right? It would be a waste of electricity. It would be completely opposite of the whole reason we turned on the light in the first place. I mean, when you turn on a light, you want to be able to see what's in the room, right? You want other people who come into the room to be able to see and not bump into things and not break things. You want everybody who enters the room to be able to see. And the same is true of Jesus. When you trust in Jesus, you trusted in Him because He is truth. Right? He is the light, and He helps you to see truth about yourself and about our world. Jesus is the light, and by Jesus, through Jesus, we can see everything more clearly. But Jesus took this illustration a step further than that, a step further than what we might have said in order to make a point. If we were telling the story, we would have said something like this. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see. Right? So that those who enter may see the room, so that we can see things. When you turn on a light, you do so that you and everyone else in the room can see what's in the room. The light illuminates the room so that you would not be in the dark. The light itself isn't the focus, but only a means by which you can see everything that you want to see. But when it comes to Jesus, He is the focus. He is the focus. So He says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. See, you see, the light itself is the focus. Not merely what you can get from the light, but the light itself is to be our focus. Because Jesus is the light. See, in His illustration, Jesus tells us the most important thing that we should all want to see and show others is Jesus, is the light itself. He is the light of the world. And not only does He illuminate our darkness so that we can see truth about ourselves and about our world more clearly, but He shines primarily so that we can see Him and show Him to others. So when you see Jesus, when we see Jesus, we should let that light shine, right? Jesus was talking about Himself in this passage, His ministry, comparing it to a lamp. If you recall, last week we saw how we should not be so enamored just with the signs of Jesus, as if the signs are the most important thing, but primarily with Jesus Himself. He is the light of the world, the bright morning star, and the thing is, His glory shines continuously. Because when He came to the earth, He never kept who He was a secret. He never hid His light. He let Himself shine so that all who saw Him might see the light of His glory and truth and thus share Him with everyone who is still in darkness. So it's really strange when we don't, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is this great light. And we see Him, we're amazed by His beauty, His light. We want, and obviously we want to put Him on a stand. We want everybody to see Him. And then we acknowledge these things. He gives us His grace. He forgives us. He loves us. And then we conceal Him, hiding Him in our cellar or under a basket, not displaying his light for all to see, kind of like we're ashamed of him, like we don't really think he's light. Why do we do that? Well, perhaps it's because we think we can find light in something else. Maybe we think, yeah, he's light, and we love that one day he's going to be our light forever, but as long as we're in this earth right here, maybe this other thing is light for me. Maybe this other thing will give me true happiness, true love, purpose, success. Like you can find happiness maybe purely in your job or in your family, or you can find love purely in another person. And don't hear me wrong, these can be wonderful gifts from God, but they are not the light. Jesus is the light. Verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. If we're discontent, feeling like we're missing something, even as believers, our problem is not that we don't have Jesus, or may not be that we don't have Jesus, but rather that we're still looking for light in dark places. It's like you're frantically searching the whole house for your keys, when all along your keys are in your hand. If your eye is bad, that lens through which you see the whole world, if that's bad, then instead of looking for the true light, we look for things that we think will pass for the light, even if they are truly darkness. You know, we have this problem called sin, don't we? And sin affects every aspect of our being in some way. And although we have God's grace upon us, sin still clings to us. It clouds our desire to rejoice in the light. And if that's true for us who believe, just imagine what it's like for those who do not yet believe. I mean, God has opened our eyes to see Jesus, to see that He is light, and yet sometimes we still prefer darkness. We still sin. But those who have never yet trusted in Jesus, all they know is darkness. Everything they love, everything they desire, everything they consider to be light and good and love will not lead to eternal life. Verse 35. If then your whole body is, therefore be careful lest the light in you be darkness. How can the light in you be darkness? Well, maybe if you're blind. I mean, in a physical way, the light in you is darkness only if you're blind. If you're blind, there is no light because you don't have eyes to see, or at least they're not functioning properly. So the light in you is darkness because there is no light. Only things you think might pass for the light. Thomas Edison is credited for inventing the light bulb, but did he create light? No, he didn't create light, did he? He created the light bulb, which in a way is a testimony to the light. When we talk about letting our light shine, we're kind of talking about being a type of light bulb. See, in a light bulb, you have a tungsten filament that's wrapped really tightly as a coil. And when you heat up that coil, it gets really, really, really hot, hotter than most metals can get. And since it's encased, and usually if it's just exposed to oxygen, it would just burn out right away because the oxygen would oxidate that tungsten and it would turn black and it would burn out right away. That's why if your light bulb cracks, they have a crack in it. Even if the filament's not broken, it's still going to go out right away because it's exposed to the oxygen. But that tungsten, it doesn't really create light. All it does is it gets really, really hot and then it starts to glow. And that glow produces light. So the light bulb, the whole encasing of it, the encasing simply protects the light from going out. It doesn't create light. It is a testimony to the light. And when we talk about letting our light shine, what we're really saying is that we should be a testimony to the light, which is Jesus. Well, I watch another Thomas Edison on YouTube, except he goes by the name Tommy, and he's blind. And he makes videos about what it's like to be blind. And in one of his videos, he described the biggest source of light that we often see and know.
People wonder a lot about my perception that people see all the time. You know, big, giant things that I probably couldn't even get my head around. The sun. Like, the sun, I understand, is what, 93 million miles away. And it's funny, like a cloud could come and block it. You know, just in your backyard or wherever you are. But how come nothing's ever come between it and the planet? Can that be the easiest thing in the world? I guess it's like a ball, right? It's like a big, well, like a yellow ball of fire or a red ball. No. What color is the sun? So, like, sunrise and sunset.
Said, so like sunrise or sunset, I can sort of feel the sun start to hit me and start to be warm again, but like that's it. And conversely, at the end of the day, I can feel it go away, but people say it's so beautiful, you can see all these colors and I don't even know what to see. I don't even know what. See, there's all these things that I know about, but I just don't know what they are. See, for Tommy, the sun isn't something that he can see, but it was something that he could feel. He may not be able to see the sunrise or the sunset, but he could feel them both. He could feel the warmth of the sun on a hot day. He could feel the absence of the sun on a cloudy day. So my question is this, does Tommy Edison live in darkness? Well, in some ways, yeah, right? He can't see. But in other ways, no, because even though he can't fully comprehend the sun, he's still very well aware of his presence, right? Maybe even more aware of it than we who say that we can see and take it for granted. Well, here's my point. Even those who are spiritually blind, there's still a glimmer of hope. Even when things seem completely dark, the light is still there, waiting for you to feel His presence. Even when you feel like happiness, purpose, success, or love have just slipped through your fingers, don't lose hope because Jesus is right there beside you. He is the hope. Draw near to that hope. Approach the light. That's called sanctification, so that you may know Jesus more. And that as you come to know Him more, you love the light more and more. Because it's tempting not to love the light. It's tempting merely to say that you love the light and then secretly, maybe even not so secretly, continue to love darkness. When our greatest joys come from sin, when our greatest joys come not from obeying God and loving God, but from sin, we continue to love darkness. When we say that we believe in Jesus but don't obey Him, we continue to love darkness. When we talk like Christians, maybe walk just like everyone else in the world, we may even rationalize how our lifestyle is okay. Even according to the Bible, we'll rationalize it. But if we turn away from the light, we walk in darkness. So be careful lest the light in you is darkness. Because when you come to love Jesus, man, you won't want to live in darkness and sin, but rather fully in His light. Verse 36, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. So knowing that even after we come to trust in Jesus, we still sin, how can we live so that our whole bodies are full of light? Three things. Number one, admit that without Jesus, you are in darkness. You're full of sin. We all are. Without Jesus. Number two, trust in Jesus. And believe that He brings you into His light because He is light. He saves you by His grace. And number three, live in His light. That is, obey Him out of love, because He first loved you. You see, as believers, we shouldn't just want to see the light once in a while, say on Sunday mornings or occasionally when you pray before a meal. But we should want to live in His light every day, every moment of every day, reading His Word daily, praying without ceasing, not out of religious duty, but because Jesus is light and beauty and love. And you should want no part of you to be dark, but holy in the light. That is possible. You know, we talk about how we're sinners, and that's true, but it is possible to live in His light. We can get a glimpse of it here. From time to time, when we're so in love with Jesus, I think there are moments in which we are living fully in His light. But we'll fully see it, fully, completely, when He takes us home to be with Himself. But only if we love the light. That is, if we love Jesus, who is the light. I was talking with someone not too long ago about God, and he refused to believe in God without more evidence. And I told them, man, look around. And the evidence is all around us of how God loves us. Love, beauty, goodness. All of these are from God. And they don't even make sense without God. I mean, He loves you, but He insisted. I need more evidence. I want to see it for myself. If God were real, then He'd show me. But the thing is, the greatest evidence for God is Jesus Himself. Nailed to the cross, demonstrating the love of God. And it's as if even before going to the cross, Jesus said, you want to see? You want to see? You want to see a sign? You want to see proof of my love, my light? Then see me, Jesus, high and lifted up, shining in all of my glory. And don't cling to your darkness, but live in my light by trusting me to forgive you of all of your sin, for which my body is broken and my blood is shed. And yet we prefer to cling to our darkness. We exchange the glory of God for worthless substitutes and don't even realize what we're missing. So we continue to do it until God Himself opens our eyes. Trevor read it just before our praise songs. Isaiah 42:16-18. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame. You who trust in carved idols and say to metal images, you are gods. But hear you, deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. You see, God opens the eyes of the blind. If you want to see, ask God to open your eyes. And when we trust in Jesus, we find that He takes our darkness with Him to that cross. He takes our pain. He takes our tears. He takes our brokenness, our sin, our autism, our blindness, our cancer, and all of our infirmities, and heals us so that when we enter His heavenly kingdom, we're whole, having no sin, no darkness. Jesus is the light. Only because of Him can we truly see. So do you want to see? Simply believe the gospel. Because you see, when God sent Jesus, He didn't put Him in a cellar. He didn't put Him under a basket, but on a stand, on a tree, on a cross. And He raised up that cross so that everyone who would look to Jesus would see Him high and lifted up, revealed in all of His glory, so that those who saw Him would see the light. And when you have eyes to see, you will see His light. When God gives you eyes to see, you will see the light of Jesus, and your whole being will be filled with His light. But if you refuse to see Jesus, you'll be filled with darkness, and you will continue to live in darkness. You'll still be searching for happiness, searching for success, purpose, and love. You'll still be searching for Jesus without even realizing you're searching for Jesus, even because you've rejected Jesus. But without Jesus, happiness, success, purpose, and love are just more forms of darkness. Your greatest light is darkness because you've rejected the truth, who is Jesus. But if Jesus is your light, then you'll begin to live in the light. You won't be able to keep it to yourself. You'll desire to serve Him and tell others about Him. You won't be able to keep silent, or you won't be able to keep that light hidden. Like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, when they were questioned by the Jews, they said, "We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard." And like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ compels us or controls us. Like David wrote in the Psalms, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with righteousness, with gladness, and my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." I mean, that will be the cry of our heart when you have Jesus. Is that the cry of your heart? Now, I fully understand that actually sharing the gospel isn't always that simple. We have fears of inadequacy. We have fears that we're going to get it wrong, and we don't want to get it wrong. That those are eternal matters at stake. We don't want to burn bridges with people. We don't want to offend people. I get all that, and I fall victim of those fears as well. But do you at least want to share Him? Do you at least want His light to shine through you so that others may see His light and give glory to God? Do you long at least for people to ask you about the hope that's in you that you can then respond, "Hey, do you want to see? Do you want to see?" Because if you don't at least want to share Him, maybe you haven't yet seen just how good He is. So to you I ask, do you want to see Jesus lifted high? Because Jesus said this in John 12, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He was talking about His death. We use that same phrase in worship and say, we want to lift Jesus up, lift Him high, but He was talking about His death on a cross, being raised up from the earth, lifted up from the earth. And He said, when I'm raised up that way, I'm going to draw people to myself. All people. See, I'm convinced that if you really see Jesus and His love for you, you can't help but be drawn to Him. Jesus loves you so much that even while we disregarded His commands, even while we cursed His name and nailed Him to the cross with our sin, He died for us. And from the cross cried to the Father, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus loves you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He loves you. So rest in His love. Let's pray. Jesus, we admit that we have lived in darkness. We were blind to our sin and even chose our blindness over trusting in You because we loved our sin. But now we see that You are light and You are love and You invite us into Your light. So we surrender to Your love. Help us to walk in Your light because by Your grace we see that You are good. In Your name we pray. Amen.